Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell, shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, May the 20th, and today happens to be the birthday of Brother Daniel Vincent. Brother Daniel's a young man here in the church, got saved last year, and saved last year and baptized first part of this year here into the church. We're grateful for that. And today's his birthday. Daniel turns 14 today. And so I hope that Daniel has a happy birthday and a good special day in the Lord. Amen. And also I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to come out and be with us on this Lord's Day here at the House of God at the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. My, we had a good day this past week on the Lord's Day. We had Brother Larry Wells with us, preaching for us in the morning and the evening service. We had a good time, and I'm so grateful and thankful unto the Lord for that. Lord willing, I'll be preaching here this Sunday morning and night. So we'd like for you to pray for us about that, and we'd love to invite you to come and be with us. We're very easily located at 1415 Island Ford Road, exit number 116, right off of the new Interstate 69 through here, formerly called the Pennyroyal Parkway. But exit number 116, we'd love to have you come and be with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Regular service time on Sunday morning. We'll gather in for Sunday school about 10:20, and then when we'll have prayer about 10 o'clock there in my office. And then we'll have Sunday school at 10:20, preaching at 11:15, and then service that night at 6:30. We'd love to make you welcome, and we'd like to invite you to come out and be part of those services with us here. Amen. And amen. Well, let me mention a few things by prayer request. We'll have prayer time on the broadcast. I started a message yesterday that I've entitled, What Makes Jesus So Special? Out of the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, dealing with his advent. That's what I dealt with yesterday, the fact that the Lord came, and what a blessing. What a special thing that God became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, I'm going to try to finish that up today and deal with what makes him special, not just in his advent, but in his achievement, what he accomplished, dealing with not just his birth, but with his death, and what he did there on Calvary. So pray that God would bless that here today on the program as well. Make that a special request. And then I do have a number of needs that we want to bring before you. My father-in-law is going to have a surgery procedure done on this coming Wednesday, and I want to be in prayer for him, that the Lord touch him and help him. And my wife, Melissa, has been struggling and trying to determine whether to go back for that or not. And as of lunchtime today, she had decided, thought she'd probably just stay here. And she talked with her mother. Her mother didn't think that there was any need for her to come home and all that. But anyway, pray that she'll know the right thing to do and that God would bless Mac Johnson, that's my father-in-law, help him through the surgery, and that God would just touch and help and have his way. Also, Brother Kevin Franklin, I've not heard in the last 2 or 3 days how he's doing, but the last news I had, he was still in the hospital. They'd done that procedure to try to stop the bleeding, but he was still losing blood through that bladder as he's suffering from bladder cancer, been going through chemo, and been doing the Hallelujah Diet part-time. And my understanding does it like a week and then off a week and back and forth with that. But anyway, pray that God would touch him and help him and meet his needs. And then Sister Sharon Dockery here in the church, she's been sick and having problems now for a while, and seems like lately it's just gotten worse. And so we want to remember her in prayer as well, if you will. And then other family members, of church members that need to be saved, some of them having health problems and different situations such as that. So I'd like for you to remember those things in prayer as well. Brother and Sister Hall seem to be doing well in their body, so we praise the Lord for that. Keep them in your prayers as well, that God would bless and use them for his glory and his honor. Amen. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Pray for the broadcast. Pray for our service on Sunday coming up, and that the Lord would just bless and help and have his way. All right, will you pray with us at this time? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy bestowed in my life. What a good God, Lord, that you have been. I thank you, Lord, as we were talking with Sister Holiday earlier today on the phone, and she mentioned about that song that we sing, that you sure have been a good God to me. And Father, that is so true. You're so good unto us. And Lord, I want to thank you that you are, that you give these good and perfect gifts. As a matter of fact, the scripture, James 1:17, says that every good gift comes from you. Every good and perfect, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And Father, I'm glad that you have no shadow upturning. You're not about to change from being so good. I glorify your name. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for giving your son. Thank you for saving us by your grace, putting us in the family of God, for the family, the physical family you've given us. Lord, so many blessings that we just have to thank you for, and I want to thank you for it. I remember what Brother Lester Roloff said some years ago. He said, when we sing that song, that we ought to count our many blessings and name them one by one. Brother Roloff said, you've blessed us so much, Lord, that we have to name ours ton by ton, because you've loaded us down with benefits, and you do it daily. And I want to thank you and praise your name for it. Father, I pray for those out there that are listening to the sound of our voice that don't know you as their Lord and Savior. I want to pray especially for those young people, those that are struggling in their mind and struggling in their life as the devil is making such a play upon their life, and the devil has sent such confusion and chaos in our world. Lord, we're living in such a dark, dismal, dingy, depraved world that there are some people that feel like they'd be better off just out of this world. But if they've never been saved by the grace of God, oh Lord, the next life is worse than this one. Father, I pray that you'd bring them to the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd cause them somehow, somewhere, some way to hear the good news of Jesus, the good news that they too could be saved and born again. And although that won't change this world, it'll change them, and it'll change their future and their destination when they leave this world. And I want to thank you for that. Father, it'll also help them, give them that within them that can overcome the world. Because you said, greater is he that is within us than he that's within the world. And I want to thank you that you're greater than the world. You're greater than the devil. You're greater than the power of sin. Lord, you're just the greatest. And I glorify your name. Bring sinners, dear Lord, I pray, to old-time conviction, that they'd confess the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by the good grace of God. Father, I pray you'd bless our services, not just here on the radio today, but I do pray for your blessings upon that. And I pray for Daniel Vincent having his birthday today. Bless him, Lord, as a young man. Father, I pray use him for your glory and honor. Put your hand and touch upon him. Father, I pray that you'd help now the services coming up on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. Help and have your way, Lord. Move in great power and glory. And you get the glory. We pray and ask it in the lovely name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. And as I said, we're looking in the scripture at Philippians chapter number 2, verses 5 through 11, the text we're reading. I mentioned yesterday that these are two sentences. All these verses put together are only two sentences. The first sentence deals with Christ coming in the world, deals with his humility, his humiliation. But then the second sentence in these verses deal with the exaltation and the honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, how his name deserves to be praised and honored. Well, we're going to be looking at Philippians 2, verse 5 through 7. We'll get this song, and then we'll be right back with the preaching and the reading of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, reading down through verse number 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Well, we spoke on this subject the last time we were together, and I started out dealing with the fact that these two sentences deal with Christ's coming into the world. I call that his advent. And it deals with Christ dying for our sins, and I call that his achievement, what he accomplished for us. Amen. And I'm preaching about what makes Jesus so special. And I'm not going to run over all the things that we dealt with yesterday, but we dealt with the fact of Him humbling Himself and taking upon Himself the form of a servant, being found in fashion as a man. We talked about how that He had all of the troubles and trials that men go through. He became a real man. He was 100% God, and yet He was 100% man. And I ended up the program talking about how that our Lord borrowed everything that He ever used in this world. I said He borrowed a womb for His birth. He borrowed a bed to lay His head. He borrowed bread and fish in order to feed a multitude. He borrowed a boat and used it for a pulpit. He borrowed a donkey and used it for His presentation of Himself to the nation of Israel. He borrowed a cross on which He died. It was not His cross. That was the cross of Barabbas. But He borrowed that cross. And He borrowed a tomb in which He was buried. I'm going to tell you, our Lord Jesus knew everything that men experience. Our Lord knew poverty. He knew real poverty. But His poverty accrued to our wealth. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye, through His poverty, might be rich. Friend, you're out there and you feel poor in spirit. You feel poor. You feel as if you have no friend. You feel as if you have no one that cares. You feel as if you have nothing. I want to tell you, our Lord Jesus left everything for you that you could have everything. Amen. His real poverty was not what He gave up in this world, but the real poverty of our Lord was His laying aside His heavenly glory, that He might die so that we might inherit the glories of that world. Hallelujah. He voluntarily came into this world and subjected Himself to human existence so that He might identify Himself with you and me. He did it to save us and to make a way for us. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 say it this way, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Amen and amen. I want to talk for a moment now on the fact that our Lord Jesus is special in His achievement. Verse number 8, that last phrase says, "He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." His achievement. I want to point out three things very quickly about His achievement, because I want to move on to a third point. I want to talk about the pain of His achievement. You see, friend, we are told that Jesus, the God-man, willingly allowed Himself to be overtaken by death. The one called the Prince of Life in Acts 3:15 entered into the jaws of death. Willingly He did that for you and for me. The one who is the resurrection and the life, according to John 11:25. He humbled Himself and allowed the cruel fingers of death to wrap themselves around His throat so that He might experience death and that we might experience life. The death He died was no ordinary death. I'm talking about the pain. It was no ordinary death. The Bible says it this way, "Even the death of the cross." There's no more brutal form of execution that has ever existed in the history of the world than to hang and suffer and bleed and suffocate on the cross. No more brutal form of execution. Jesus died a horrible agony death, so that you and I might live in boundless glory. I see not only the pain of His achievement, but the power of His achievement. In His death, Jesus provided redemption for all those who will believe on Him by faith. 1 Peter 1:18-19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Amen. Jesus demonstrated the boundless love of God for sinners when he died on the cross. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, when Jesus died on that cross, he opened the way to God for all those who would come to God through him for salvation. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I see the pain of his achievement, the power of his achievement, and then also the price of his achievement. You see, friend, Jesus did not just become a man for the 33 years that he lived on earth. Even after he died and rose again, he still bears the image, the form of humanity. When Jesus became a man, he eternally limited himself to the human form. Oh, he's God, but he's the God-man. In heaven today, Jesus still bears the marks and the wounds of his suffering on Calvary. In Revelation 5:9, when John saw Christ in glory, he stood as a lamb as it had been slain. It's what the Bible said. And in John 20:24-28, when Jesus appeared to the disciples on the day of his resurrection, he still had wounds in his hands and his feet and his side. When we see him over there, we will see him as God, but also as the man who died for our sins on the cross, who still bears the beauty marks of that experience upon his body. Throughout eternity, the spotless bride of Christ will be reminded of the price that was paid for her redemption. I believe that eternity will ring with the praises of he who became man so that men might get to God. Amen. He's special in his advent. He's special in his achievement. And he's special in his advancement. Look at verses 9-11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because Jesus humbled himself, died on the cross, and fulfilled the eternal plan of God the Father, we are told that God has highly exalted him. This phrase means to, quote, raise to the utmost of majesty. Our Lord Jesus has been raised to the utmost of majesty because of what he did for you and I. There are three areas mentioned here in this text in which God has highly exalted Jesus. First of all, he has exalted him in his name. Now, we're told that he has been given a name that is above every name. What is that name? The redeemed saints of God just know him as the Lord Jesus Christ. At the mention of that precious name, lives are altered. Blinded eyes are opened, deaf ears are unstopped. Sin's bars open and the shackles of spiritual bondage falls away. Night turns to day, hope replaces despair. Dead men live, devils tremble, saints shout. Lost souls are found, sinners are broken, and angels bow before him. More has been done through the agency and the power of that name than all the names of all other people combined. There really is just something special about that name. The name Jesus is the sweetest name ever to fall on human ears. The name of Jesus is a cause for celebration in heaven. That name strikes fear into the hearts of the inhabitants of hell. And that name changed my life, opened my eyes, and saved my soul. Oh, I say with the songwriter, there is a name above all others, wonderful to hear, bringing hope and cheer. It's the lovely name of Jesus, evermore the same. What a lovely name. He is exalted in His name. Secondly, He is exalted in His fame. There is coming a day when every person will bow before Him and confess Him as Lord to the glory of God the Father. Think about it. One day every lost sinner will bow before Jesus and give Him glory. One day the devil himself will bow before Jesus and honor Him. One day every demon of hell will call Jesus Lord. He's exalted in His name. He's exalted in His fame. And He is exalted in His claim. God declares Jesus to be Lord. At the mention of His name, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Friend, if He is Lord, then He's worthy to be loved, served, worshiped, and obeyed. If He is Lord, He is worthy of our time, our talents, and our treasures. Thank you for listening.